It is the works of masterpieces. The masterpieces of great composers and artists and sculptors and poets and authors, which define their style, their works, the subtle characteristics that define their genre, the works which ultimately define their greatness as artists within their respective field. This past May, when I traveled to Cambridge, England, I had the opportunity to visit the Fitzwilliam Museum of Cambridge University. And among the hundreds of thousands of artifacts in the Fitzwilliam Museum, there's a whole section devoted to religious art. And it was there that I was struck by a beautiful painting by a 16th century Italian artist named Giovanni Battista Benvenuto, depicting our patron, St. John the Baptist, standing with his staff in a very pastoral setting near the Jordan River, with Christ presented as the Lamb of God near the forerunner's feet. And while the painting would not be considered, in Orthodox terms, an icon, the painting nonetheless revokes a religious piety that most surely must have been the inspiration for Benvenuto's work. For this work presents the greatness of John the Baptist only in terms of the greatness of Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It is a work that reveals greatness, not so much in terms of the artistic skill of the painter, but greatness and splendor as revealed in the works of Christ Himself, of which St. John the Baptist's ministry gave witness to. For ultimately, we cannot behold the greatness of any works of man, no matter how stunning they may be, apart from the very divine works of Christ. The works of Christ, the works of our Lord. It is St. John the Baptist, the forerunner of our Lord, who continually deflected attention away from himself and pointed to Christ, pointed to Him, the Lamb of God, to the Savior of humanity. Such that even as St. John the Baptist had been in prison just before his execution, our gospel lesson this morning from St. Matthew, the 11th chapter, presents us with John sending two of his own disciples to Jesus to ask our Lord the question, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Now, a casual reader may see this as doubt on the part of St. John the Baptist, maybe thinking that maybe, well, St. John, they're in prison, maybe his faith has grown a little shaky, and he's having a little doubt about, is this really the Messiah, this cousin of his? Is he really the Christ, the Anointed One, or do we look for another? Perhaps needing that reassurance. But this simply is not the case. Rather, St. John the Baptist is sending these two disciples to pose the question to Jesus, not to strengthen St. John's faith, but rather so that these two disciples may encounter for themselves the Holy One, the Christ, the Anointed One, so that they themselves may become witnesses to the works and wonders of our Lord, that they themselves could personally acknowledge and evangelize and share the good news of the divine ministry in the works of Christ. We read in verse 4 of Matthew 11, following this question to Jesus, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see." Do you hear that? The things which you hear and see. Not the things that I'm telling you, but rather he's saying, go tell John the things that you are witnesses to, the things that you personally hear and see with your own eyes. He says, "The blind see, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." You see, it's one thing for the disciples to be sitting under the ministry of St. John and to hear St. John proclaiming him to be the Lamb of God, to be the Savior, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. But it is altogether another thing to be a personal witness to the works of Christ. These disciples saw these wonders. They heard. They saw with their own eyes. The blind having their eyes opened. The lepers being cleansed of their disease. The deaf having their ears open. And yes, the dead being raised to life. The poor, the despairing, the destitute, those at the fringes of society, having the good news of the gospel preached to them. It was the works of Christ, the works of the Anointed One, that these disciples were given the opportunity to be personal witnesses of, such that their own encounter with the works of Christ galvanized their own faith and enabled them to be some of the first evangelists, to report back to John the things that they had witnessed, the divine works of Christ. You see, the Christian faith is not merely an acceptance of the orthodox doctrines and the teachings of the church, but is most significantly an encounter with the miraculous works of Christ. It is a faith that is quickened, that comes alive in encountering those works. It is a faith that becomes real through holy encounters with the works of our Lord Jesus Christ. The works of Christ, they are palpable. The works of Christ are not something locked into history 2,000 years ago, halfway around the world in a place called Palestine. But rather, those works, the works of Christ, which spans the ages into every generation of believers, to those who hear and see, just like the disciples of John, the works of Christ in the continuity of the church, in the living church, the continuing incarnation of the body of Christ. Today we celebrate a special occasion, this homecoming of Zacchaeus Jensen and his fiancée Eva. It's been a long, long 4 months having him absent. And we celebrate. Zach's presence here today is a testimony to this reality, to the works of Christ, to a man who was resurrected from his bed of death unto life. We give glory, we give thanks. His presence today is a testimony to the greatness of God, of the works of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we rejoice. We rejoice in God's glory being revealed, not only in the history of 2,000 years ago, but in the glory of our very encounters with the healing presence of our Lord today. You see, the works of Christ are all around us. If only we open our eyes. If only we participate in salvation history that continues to this day. And the reality is that while Zach Jensen is sitting here today, unless the Lord returns, there will be a day that he dies, that he departs this earth. There will be a day that you and I will face death. But just as the disciples of John discovered, death has already been conquered. Jesus, in his witness and raising up the dead, has given testimony to the reality of his own resurrection and Christ trampling down death by death and restoring life to those who are in the tomb, as our Paschal Troparion proclaims. You see, we have been called to be resurrection people, to be joined in the glorious triumph of Christ and his works. Of Christ and his works, the works which continue to this day. Today we also celebrate the feast of St. Ambrose of Milan. Some of you may not know the story of Ambrose. Ambrose was one of the great doctors and bishops and confessors of the church who lived in the 4th century, a time when the church had been facing severe persecution, during a time in which the great heresy of Arianism threatened to divide the church. When Ambrose was born to pious Christian parents in Italy, Ambrose, his father knew, was destined to become someone special, because shortly after the birth of St. Ambrose, while lying in his cradle one day, a swarm of bees settled upon the face of the infant Ambrose. And when the bees left, there were drops of honey on the face of this young infant Ambrose. And his father knew that this was a sign that God would bless this baby one day with eloquence, that he would become a gift to the church. And Ambrose, after receiving a classical education, after coming to the faith, before he could even be baptized, it was revealed to the elders of the church that he should become the Bishop of Milan, and he resisted. But the providence of God was at work. So Ambrose consented. He was baptized. And in coming into the church, in short order, he was consecrated a bishop. And in so doing, Ambrose, who was a man of wealth, gave away nearly all of his wealth to the poor, reserving a little bit to help support his sister, who had become a virgin for the Lord, a nun. And Ambrose spent his days zealously defending the Orthodox faith against the Arian heresy. He continued to be a faithful servant of God, writing and presenting and defining many of the great doctrines of the church. And Ambrose, who himself would be named a doctor of the church, was also very instrumental in leading from a pagan life into the church another doctor, St. Augustine. And it was on the eve of St. Augustine's baptism that St. Ambrose penned the great hymn, the Te Deum, which we chant outside of penitential seasons. But in our matins every morning, otherwise, we sing that great hymn that was written by St. Ambrose, the Te Deum. We praise Thee, O God, we acknowledge Thee to be the Lord. All the earth doth worship Thee, the Father everlasting. To Thee all angels cry aloud, the heavens and all the powers therein. To Thee cherubim and seraphim continually do cry, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of the majesty of thy glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise thee. The goodly fellowship of the prophets praise thee. The noble army of martyrs praise thee. The holy church throughout all the world doth acknowledge thee. The Father of an infinite majesty, thine adorable, true, and only Son. Also, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. A great hymn that we have inherited from St. Ambrose. You see, the works of St. Ambrose have become the works of Christ in the church. You see, our own works alone and apart from God can never save us. We can never be saved by works. They are, as Scripture tells us, as dirty rags, as filthy rags in the eyes of God. But, when we become united to Christ through our faith, through our baptism, through our union in with Him in the church, by encountering, as those disciples of John did, the greatness of God through the Holy Spirit, then our works ultimately become and are joined to the works of Christ. They become works that are capable of bringing us to a living faith that brings us to salvation. Works that become the works of the saints of God, the works of Christ Himself. As such, our works, united to the works of Christ, becomes a living witness to the good news of the gospel, just as the life of St. Ambrose, just as the life of Zacchaeus Jensen, just as the life of each and every one of us who have given our hearts and our souls to our Lord Jesus. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we continue to see sight restored to the blind, the deaf made to hear, the disease cleansed, the lame made to walk, the poor given the hope of the gospel, the dead raised to new life. For each of us have a story, a witness, a testimony of each of us that were once dead and now have new life, who lived in darkness and who've now been brought into the glorious light of our Lord. This, we say, are the works of Christ, each of you. And as we join in union with the works of Christ, we continue to minister and give testimony to the works of Christ and others. In a sacramental way, our words become the words of Christ in pardoning our offenders and encouraging those who are poor and discouraged, and in offering assistance to those who are destitute. We hear and experience the works of Christ and the witness and the mysteries of the church, and hearing the words of absolution of the priest, and receiving the body and blood of our Lord. These are our holy encounters that continue every day, every week, in this glorious kingdom of God to which He has called us. These are the works of Christ, the works which give hope and glory. St. Paul, in Romans 15, from our epistle lesson this morning, close that scripture out and say, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." The works of Christ. This is our hope as we continue in the season of Advent to the glorious celebration of the Nativity in the coming of our Lord, even as we wait upon His second coming. For we are children of the Lord, joined in the works of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.